Well, let's have a word of prayer, right? Then we'll go ahead and start today's Sunday school. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful, so thankful for who you are. You're a God who loves us so much. You're a sovereign God, the merciful God, the gracious God, that, Lord, will be faithful to those who are faithful to you. And Father, even for those who vacillate, those who are not sure of their position in Christ, yet you are tender and merciful even to them. Lord, we are thankful that in every aspect of our lives, you never fail to be an encouragement to us. You never fail to lead us in the way of righteousness. You never fail, Lord, to admonish and rebuke us where we need to. And sometimes we may not even know that you are rebuking us because, Lord, we neglect our relationship with you. But yet, you are still that tender God. You are still the compassionate God. That, Father, you are constantly angry at sin. And yet, Lord, so patient with your people. I pray that you'll always help us to be aware of who you are. Lord, we are thankful for the blessings of the Vacation Bible School. I'm praying, Lord, that whatever that has been accomplished, Lord, will be added, Father, to the rewards, to the various workers present and those who pray for it. Lord, I pray for every child that has been influenced somewhat by the workers on the message, that their lives will change, Lord, for good. We are thankful for a few who have been reassured of their salvation. And I'm praying that, Lord, you will help us to continuously be an instrument, Lord, of your peace, that the children will grow to be added to the church for your glory. Lord, right now, even as we cover a pretty heavy topic, Lord, which is part and parcel of the verse in Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart cometh out evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication. Lord, I pray today as we handle these two heavy topics of society, I pray, God, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we would, in our hearts, hold the standard of your word high, and also that we might be set apart for your glory. And I pray that everyone who hears these words, Lord, will have a strong influence of the Holy Spirit and His word in our lives that will protect us in our hearts, so that we will not sin against you. Well, thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me just put to airplane mode, just in case. Okay, I hope you all have the notes for today. It's right in front. We are going to be talking about, let's turn to Matthew 15:19, or you can just look at the verse here, all right? The verse here. Is important. Okay, let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Okay, so our context for, rather our verse for the next, we have been covering evil thinking, murdering, adulteries and fornications. We'll be covering next week also this, the things of these verses, because Jesus says, out of the heart, these things come out. Because these things come from the heart, we need to understand from God's word why these things happen and what can we do to make sure we live God's way. Okay, so today we'll be continuing with adulteries. Alright, last week we talked about adultery as different from fornication. We talked about adultery as being extremely sinful, because it destroys marriage. Okay, adultery destroys marriage. We can see in our society, a lot of people, okay, have fallen into adultery. MPs, movie stars, Hollywood stars, singers, teachers of all people, our teachers who are supposed to be educated, but yet they still fall into this kind of thing. So today we just want to quickly touch on, how do we guard our hearts against adultery? How do we actually guard our hearts against adultery? Okay, those of you, I think we still have notes from last week. Hang on, we still have some notes from last week. Okay, maybe this part. This one is this week's. Okay, this one's from last week, for people who may just want to fill in some of the blanks. Okay. Some notes from last week. How do we guard our hearts against adultery. We just want to quickly go through this because we want to also touch on fornication and hopefully we'll be able to finish on this pretty heavy topic, but it's important. Okay, so how do we guard our hearts against adultery? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27 first. Okay, there are a few verses we want to touch on. How do we guard our hearts against adultery? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. This is the last passage, the last part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus teach that we need to pay attention to, okay? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, I'll read 24, you read 25, and then I'll read 26, then we'll finish at 27 together, okay? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Okay? The Lord Jesus was very clear at the end of these three chapters of teaching the people. He said, if anyone will hear what I say, and if anyone will hear what I say and do them, then I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. What is the rock that Jesus is talking about? What is the rock? Sorry? Yeah, the rock is Jesus, but in this context, what is the rock? The foundation, right? But what is it that is the foundation that Jesus is talking about? Sorry? Obedience to His Word. Not just His Word, not just God's Word. Huh? It's very important for us to understand this, okay? Well, the Bible is God's foundation. Yes, it is. But Jesus says, if you would hear my words and do them. If you hear my words and do them. If you listen to instruction and do them. Then I say you're a wise man. Okay? We have very, very good schools in Singapore, but yet, if the students don't learn, then they don't get anything. Right? We need to obey God. We need to not just know God's word, but do them. Okay? So the first point, how do we guard our hearts against adultery as Christians? We need to ensure that our foundation in Christ, that we have a foundation in Christ when we marry. Okay? The Bible is very clear. Christians ought to marry only Christians because otherwise you will have different father-in-laws. Christians ought to marry only Christians only because otherwise you have different father-in-law. If a Christian marry a non-believer, he will have problems with his father-in-law. Who's the father-in-law of a non-believer? Mr. Tan. Right? Mr. S.A. Tan. Because in John 8:44, Jesus told those who were not saved, ye are of your father the devil. Young people, please remember this. He may be handsome, she may look pretty. You get married, you have problems. Because beauty doesn't prevent problems. Does it make sense? Just because it's rich, it doesn't present problems. Marriage is a spiritual thing. Because it was given by God. Man didn't make marriage, God did. And so when we marry, we must marry in Christ. Teenagers, remember this for the rest of your life. Because if you don't, society is going to change your thinking into saying, well, it's okay, well, you know, I can do all the things I want. No, marriage is only between Christians for Christians, okay? Because if Christ is the head of the house, then we are accountable to Him. Okay? And so, we need to therefore develop a fear of God against this sin of adultery. I'm thankful that the men in our church, we know that this is the right thing and we are determined in our hearts. Let's teach our children too, okay? And those after us. Alright, that's why usually those people who will marry in Ambassador, we require them to go through premarital counseling. Okay? The first part is usually to determine whether or not it's God's will. And then after that, when they are quite sure, then after that, we will actually go through a period of time of counseling as they prepare for their wedding, okay? So we need premarital counseling, basically to actually hopefully dig out problems before marriage, deal with them, then when they go into marriage, at least they have some skills and tools to deal with things in the marriage, but it has to be in Christ, okay? Another thing, ensure that your foundation in Christ. Still under this point, we need to look for Christians who love God more than each other. We need to find Christians who don't love me because I'm beautiful or handsome. We need to find Christians who love God. Because if you love God, you love me. Amen? Okay? Christians who are actively serving. Christians who want to grow. Christians who take care of their family. Because if they take care of family, they will take care of us. Alright? So these are the little things. Unfortunately, a lot of people marry because of a coming child, a pregnancy or something. And it's very heartbreaking. My wife and I, we went to one of these just to support a particular mother, which is a grandmother, the daughter. Christians, by the way, Christians in some of the churches in the north area. And we attended just kind of a lunch reception just to support the grandmother whose heart was painful because the girl was getting married, not because that they were fully ready, but because of a child coming. You know, as we eat, as we talk, it was very clear that grandmother, come and eat, you know, come and have food and all that. But you know, me and my wife, we were very sure we could sense that her heart is heavy. She knows it's supposed to be a joyful occasion, right, isn't it? But there's pain in the heart because the marriage is not because of genuine care and love, but because there's a baby coming. And you know, the sad thing is, it happened in the church. These are supposedly Christians. Now, why are Christians are also falling into that trap? That's why we have to teach this. We need to be very careful. Number one, how do we guard our hearts? Ensure your foundation is in Christ. Okay, number one. Point number two is we need to decide for husbands that our wife, she is God's best for us. There is no one else. 没有第三, no one else. Okay, for the wife, we need to decide in our hearts, this husband is the best that God gave me. There is no one else. Once you think like that and you say, no, this is the best because if God is my Savior, He will always give me the best. So if I'm married to this man, He's the best. If I'm married to this woman, He's the best. Okay? It's very important because otherwise, understand that God does all things for our good. Right? You agree? God will do everything for our good. So that God will even, and the things that He brings into our lives, and the people are always the best. No, Rajani, no. You don't know my husband. You don't know my wife. Once you're married, God can work things out for us. Amen? Marriage is not between two perfect people, but two imperfect people. But we, thank God, have a perfect God. Okay, can pick two imperfect people perfectly together. And that's a blessing. Alright? So in our hearts and minds, we have to have this thinking that, Lord, I'm married. You're a Christian. This is your best. Help me to trust you to make the best of our lives together. Alright, so that's number two. Number three, Job 31 verse 1. Job 31 verse 1. This is an important verse for men especially. Okay. Job 31 verse 1. And this verse is specifically given to men only, alright, because of the needs. I'll just read, alright. Job 31 verse 1 says, I made an agreement with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Okay? This verse, Job was actually trying to defend his faithfulness. Alright? Marital faithfulness. He says, look, I already decided with my eyes. I'm not going to look at a lady and want her. That's what he's saying here. I already made a covenant. I'm not going to look at her. Alright? Point number three, we need to make a decision with our eyes that men, we're not going to look at other ladies and say, I want. No. We already make a decision before God. God, protect my mind, protect my heart. I already have the best. Why should I want someone else? Does that make sense? We have to make these decisions. Remember, I just read here, men, we need to keep our eyes pure and decide that we are not going to cheat on our wives, even in our hearts. Remember what Jesus said? If you look on a lady and lust after her, you've committed adultery with her. Well, that's hard, but that's Bible. Because God knows all the wrong things will come out from here. So if we can control ourselves here with God's help, we will not need to get into problems next time. Does that make sense? All right? That's why we need God. Okay? Any questions? Okay, next point. Avoid strange woman. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3. Let's turn there. Avoid strange woman. Who is the strange woman? Proverbs 5 and verse 3 to 14. I'll just read a few verses. It's the strange woman. Okay, let me just read a few verses. Remember, in the earlier chapters of Proverbs, Solomon is actually teaching his son about women. Okay, we all know King Solomon had how many wives? King Solomon had how many wives? He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Okay? And so in his lifetime, it's almost, maybe a wedding a week kind of thing. I don't know how he make everyone happy. 1,000 women. But you know, the Bible says what? It is the women that drew his heart away from God. Okay? Solomon here, therefore, is teaching now his son, please be very careful. I've already have all the women I want, but unfortunately, it didn't do me good. It drew my heart away from God. Okay? So, in verse 3, who's a strange? The lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb. In other words, he can talk very nice to you. Wow, you're very handsome, eh, Joshua. I like your black glasses. Thank God I'm a guy. I just his lips will be 很甜啊. Oh, he talk very nice. All right? Her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. This is the strange woman is a person who comes without morals, no principles. You know, one of the things, unfortunately, this world that we live in, Hollywood stars, movie stars, unfortunately, you know, sometimes young teenagers are, wow, Madonna, you know, wow, she's a good star, man. Do you know she's a strange woman to you? Because of how she dress. For rock stars who dress in the wrong way, and young men, wow, you know, that some young people will have big posters of rock stars and all that. That's a strange woman. We need to be very careful. And we need to avoid things like this. We need to avoid strange women in magazines. Huh? Our NTUC, when you pay, right? We have to control our eyes, don't look at the magazines. You know, even if you look, it's all ladies dressed in the wrong way. Almost all. Of course, you have muscle men and automobiles, you know, cars. But majority is ladies don't dress well. We need to avoid pornography. Okay, this is a very big problem right now. All right, because of internet, because of computers, we need to avoid the lady at work. The secretary, the one, the cashier, the ladies. When we work with ladies, we must be very, very careful. Okay? Me and my friend, we work as therapists, as a therapist, a lot of lady therapists. So we are very clear. Me and my manager is a guy also. So he'll make sure that he will be always keeping that distance. He's a Christian also. So together, we make sure we always keep our distance, our relation is always professional, making sure everything is on the email. Even if we talk, we make sure there's people around, okay? And even if we have to do discussing things with a lady, make sure everyone, there are people around that can see what is happening so that we protect ourselves and our reputation, all right? We need to be very, very careful on that, okay? So we need to avoid the strange woman, okay? For those who are older, you've got things to add, just add, alright? Because it will help even the younger. Teenagers, don't think, it's not going to happen to me. If you're not prepared, your heart now. You think, never mind, this one is for the older people. I will cross the bridge when I come to it. You better start building a bridge now. Okay? When you have problems, don't have a string and try to run across. Okay? You need to build solid your foundation now. Okay? So some other things that you need to be careful about when you to avoid the strange woman. Watch what you say and what you do. Alright? Don't like, wow, today is... this lady's birthday, never mind, I just buy her a gift. Okay? Maybe it's your colleague. You need to be very careful. A gift can mean a lot of things for a lady. Right? A present can mean a lot of things for a girl. Yes, girls? If a boy come to you and say, maybe you're just working together, then say, oh, your birthday, I did, nah, this is a voucher or whatever. Nah, I bought this nice photo album for you. To us, it's just buy a gift. To the girl, it's, oh, you remember my birthday? It may bring up other things that you don't want to encourage. Okay, so we must be very careful. Watch what you do and what you say. Alright? Don't spend a lot of time together. This has to do with teenagers also. Don't spend a lot of time together sharing family problems. You know why? It develops intimacy. You are sharing with someone else of the opposite gender something private in your life. If you share on a continuous basis, what you are doing is developing intimacies. Okay? You need to be very, very careful of that. Also, this we'll talk about adultery. Okay? Do not accept greeting cards or gifts from someone you find attractive or think you, or someone you think is attracted to you. If you know that I think this person wants to give me things because you will actually say, no, thank you. Maybe we, oh, you buy me food, sweets. Oh, never mind, we share with the whole department. So you kind of push everything away. All right? That is to make sure you cancel all the messages. Guys, don't think, wow, this girl specially only buy Van Houten, don't know what chocolate for me, only for me. Don't be so proud. Maybe she got other thinking, so you have to push the chocolates away. Anything, anyway, you just need to be very careful. These are the subtle things, okay? And this is something that, the next one about avoiding the strange woman, if your wife or your husband asks you, please don't spend too much time with that man or the lady, do it. And that's important. I got this, some of these points from a Christian lady who counsels and says, if a spouse, a husband or a wife, let's say I'm a husband, I told my wife, I don't spend so much time with a guy, or the wife, hey, don't spend so much time with a girl, respect the wish because they may be seeing certain things that you're not seeing. It's God's way of helping us. Do you understand that? Okay, and this is very important. And even for teenagers, when your parents ask you to say, stay away, do that. You know why? They are trying to protect you. Okay? Please listen to this as well. Okay? So, avoid a strange woman. Any question? Okay, let's move on. Build a relationship. Let's turn to Proverbs 24, verse 3. Proverbs 24 and verse 3. Proverbs 24, verse 3. Before I go into this short passage, I just want to give you a short illustration. I was watching a war movie, there was one captain was very proud. Okay, then there was one platoon of soldiers. This sergeant and this platoon commander, the commander, was very experienced. They are receiving a lot of information that the Vietnamese army is going to attack in big, it's like about 1,000 men, going to attack this small place. And so this platoon commander is telling, hey, captain, we must do something, man. And this captain say, don't worry. We have all the things we need. I can tell you this enemy will not attack. But then this cannot, we must, you know, we have to at least do some preparation, you know. Say, don't worry, just leave it to me, I'm in charge here. But in the end, the captain was calling for a lot of help to support and protect. He realized that at the end, with only 6 hours left, he didn't do anything. And the higher HQ, the people at the top, was denying his every request because there were other fighting elsewhere. In the end, the captain told this platoon commander, said, sir, permission to do what we need to do. Said, let's go ahead. And the captain and the sergeant, actually, they didn't have much. Even the supplies that came, the weapons that the higher HQ draw, were all useless. Because their mortar is 40 mm, they drop 72 mm. Useless. They cannot use. All the information were wrong. But because the platoon sergeant has been there for 3 years already, fighting in North Vietnam, he knew how to use it. So he got all his soldiers together. And they basically prepared the whole place in 6 hours. They rushed, they made a lot of fortifications. That night, the enemy attacked non-stop. At least 2,000 men against 20 soldiers. But because the sergeant and the platoon commander prepared his men, the man was already said, die lah, captain don't want to do anything, we die already. We just basically sit there and shoot until we have no bullets and then we die. But because the platoon commander and the sergeant was very creative with a lot of booby traps, concertina wires, and all the bombs and things like that, just to mine. Because as the people run in, the Vietnamese army, they just run in and shoot you. They don't even think about hiding. They just, but they, because they prepared themselves, they actually survived at the end. Of course, some of their friends died. Like the medic, the person who takes care of the sick, was shot by the Vietnam. It was like, it was very sad for them because he was a very close friend. Oh, because of this captain would want to. But you know what? After they prepared, finally they actually survived. After the whole night of fighting, they actually survived because they prepared. Young people, don't think Satan will let you go. When you come to church, I hope you will remember some of this principle, because when Satan attacks, if you remember this, you have something against him. A lot of our young people, after I share with you, when we go into fornication, maybe I just share a quick thought. Dr. Ng Eng Hen, you know Dr. Ng Eng Hen? Our MP, I cannot remember, one of our ministers. 2,000 abortions a year in Singapore. Wrong. 2,000 teenage pregnancies a year in Singapore. That's 3 every day. Wrong. That's 7 every day. I don't know about you. I don't want my daughter to be a statistic. And I hope we will pray. We will remember this. And you know what? Parents can only be there, but no teenagers. You need to put these verses in your heart and take it seriously. All right? Take this seriously. Okay? So we're talking about building the relationship. Proverbs 24 and verse 3. Let me just read a few. Number 1, verse 3. True wisdom is an house builder. True wisdom. True wisdom. It's interesting. I read the whole verse, and then it's interesting how God actually structures. True wisdom is a house builded. By understanding it is established, and then by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. God actually do it the opposite way. You know, in this world, we say we must have the information first, then we understand, then we will be wise, right? God actually did the opposite way. We must be wise first, okay? Then we will understand what's happening. Then when you have more knowledge, things get better. What is God talking about? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God says the very first thing to build a house is that the house must fear God first. Wisdom in the Bible is always obedience to God. In the Hebrew Jewish thinking is this. The Jews believe in the true God. They know that God is all wise. If I obey Him, I am all wise. Does that make sense? Simple equation. So, if God says, even if you don't understand, you just obey me, you'll be okay. Okay, if children will listen to the parent, we have done this before, you just have to do it this way, you'll be fine. If as the children say, yes, Papa, I listen to you, then we'll be okay. So God says, it is true wisdom, obedience, fear of God. It's a house built. It always starts there. Your life in a family, your life as husband and wife is always built on the obedience to God first. Then, by understanding, sometimes you do things you don't understand, right? But I do it because it's God's will. Sometimes, in our Singapore education system, what's happening is, they always have tutorial, try to make you understand, then you apply. God says you obey first. The more you obey, then you will really understand. And the Bible says, as you build a house by understanding, you will establish the foundation. Oh, no wonder we must go and win souls. No wonder we must pray because we found that God answers prayer. I don't know, I just pray, Lord, because so-and-so pastor asked me to pray, I pray. Wow, really? Then you begin to understand why. Then after that, when you already have a heart of obedience, you really understand. When you get more information, by knowledge, the Bible says, shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. That means that when I've obeyed with a good heart, I've understood, the more information I have, I can actually make things better in my life. Does that make sense? My life will be richer. Any questions? So in the building of any house, obedience is the first principle. Obedience to God is the first principle. That's why if a husband and wife will obey God, then the marriage will be strong. But once we cease to obey God in some areas, there's cracks, okay? So we need to build a relationship. Alright? Put all your focus. Don't maybe an encouragement is this. Don't think, okay, I cannot commit adultery, Don't think about that. Think about, Lord, I want to build my relationship with my wife. I want to build my relationship with my husband. Focus on this. So the more you are building here, the less opportunity. You're not thinking about this. You would think, I have a good relationship with my wife. Why should I want someone else? I have a good relationship with my husband. Why should I want someone else? Does it make sense? Jesus encouraged us to build a house based on obedience. Okay? So, obedient husbands, we need to love our wives as Christ loved the church. That means, what did Jesus do for the church? He died for it. So, husband, God says in Ephesians 5, we are to love our wives and be willing to die for her. Okay? Ladies, if you're not married and you're looking for guys, if the guys don't even bother to open the door for you, or every time eat only think about himself, then I think you better rethink. Alright? Because as a husband, we need to love our wives enough to die for our wives. Okay? But if we love our wives this way, our wife will have no problem submitting to us. Yes? Because the next thing that God says, wives, submit to your own husbands. To your own husband. During that time, there was a problem because ladies also work outside. When ladies work outside, they got male bosses also. So when a male boss says something and a husband says something, God says, wives, submit to your own husband. Okay? And that is important. And that's something. So sometimes when certain people may give some information to you, maybe a wife listen, another man give information, you must always say, no, I'll listen to my husband first. Because that's what this verse means. Alright? As long as it's based in the Bible. Okay? So, respect and honor your spouse. I just read what I have here. Do not put down. Do not mock. Do not curse. Do not be sarcastic. Don't call your wives or your husband names in front of people. Don't accuse them falsely. Don't hit them. Don't shout at them. We're all guilty of that. Don't bluff them. Don't lie to them. Okay? In public or in private. Because why? It causes shame, embarrassment. And basically, don't take our wives and our husbands for granted. Okay? Don't do that for granted. Okay, any questions? Okay, let's move on. Okay. Point number 6, learn contentment. Be contented. Be contented with what God has. You know, sometimes people feel that their needs are not met, so they go and look somewhere else. Okay? Then point number 7, keep our hearts on the Lord. Keep our hearts on the Lord. In Proverbs 4:23, keep our heart with all diligence. Okay? When we get married, our heart is only with our wife, our heart. If our husband, my heart should always be on the wife. And for the wife, her heart must always be on the husband. Full stop. Any questions? So these are some principles. Okay? Let me just quickly go on, okay? What if someone is caught in the adultery? Maybe you know a friend. How many of you actually know of someone who is actually in adultery? I think all of us probably will know, or some people. We don't have, you know, it's so normal now. Okay, it's so normal that even teenagers may think like that. Everyone is doing it, why? You know what's the problem, you know? I want us to realize that adultery is a very serious thing in the eyes of God. A person caught in adultery is punishable by death. 死亡. God says a person is caught in adultery, the man and the lady will die. Because God don't want that kind. Because you know why? Sin, the sin of adultery breaks up families, okay? The first R, okay, the many R's there, right? How do we help someone who is caught in adultery? Before we even go there, recognize one thing. When a person is caught in adultery, like Jesus, we must have compassion on the person, but hate the sin. Because the sin will destroy the person. And we have to love this person. But we need to hate this sin so much, we must do all we can to get rid of this so that this person will be saved. That was what Jesus did with the woman caught in adultery. And I'm sure we may have friends or sometimes close friends who are involved in this. This is something we have. Number one, we need to realize it's a sin and it's a terrible sin. Why is it a terrible sin? What are some of the consequences of adultery? Anyone? What are some of the results of adultery? Anyone? Sorry? What are some of the... Sorry? Children? Anyone else? I think we all know some of these consequences. What are some consequences of adultery? Rajun, any? Sorry? Family is destroyed. Let me just quickly go through. The conscience of the person is affected. The person, the family, the children, the reputation of both this person. And sometimes because, let's say, pastors have been caught there, so the reputation of the church, the reputation of Christ is destroyed. And you know the implication for non-believers. Ah, you're Christian, so don't know how to love your wives and husband. Ah, you want me to join a Christian? For what? I'm having a good time. I don't have to have all the... In fact, my family is better than that. You know, the pastor, you go and sleep with our lady. At least I love my wife. Then the person will never be saved. Okay, there's implication. The consequences is so serious that God says a person who is caught in adultery must die. That's so serious. Not because God wants to just kill the person, but God says, hey, this is so serious, in the nation of Israel that we need to destroy it. Okay? Example is David. King David, remember? King David, a very spiritual man, but committed adultery with Bathsheba. As a result, three of his children were killed. His entire life after that had a lot of problems in his kingdom, a lot of problems, all because of that one night of pleasure. One night of fun with a lady that's not supposed to be his. Okay? So please understand, that's why sin is so terrible. That's why sin is so terrible. Understand this. If the only thing you get from today is that sin is so terrible. Sin is so terrible that one, just a small thing can cause a big problem. That's why God has to deal with sin, because He doesn't want us to suffer the consequences. Does it make sense? Alright? So we need to realize it's a terrible sin. Number two, we need to change our mind. We need to repent. People who are involved in adultery often think that it's okay. What? Either that or 他不爱我, then 他爱我, then won't you follow him? You know? This person don't love me, so I mean, he's more understanding. Anyway, I'm not happy in my marriage, so I should look for someone else, right? That is wrong thinking. Remember? One man, one woman for the rest of your life. And if you change that, you need to repent. Say, God, your plan is one man, one woman for the rest of your life. Okay, we need to repent. You know who do we need to repent to? Firstly, we need to say sorry to God. Change our mind to God. We need to repent to our family. We need to repent to our children. We need to repent to our in-laws. For guys, if we do that, if we are truly a Christian, we need to also say sorry to the in-laws. Because we have hurt their daughter. To our own parents, because we have shamed them. To the other person, if he's single, then we need to confess that what was done is wrong and stop the involvement. If the person is married, then there must be confession to this, the other person, and also to the husband, because you took something that didn't belong to you. You know why I put it this way? Because this is exactly how God sees it. That's why death is a penalty. But in the age of grace, there must be what we call repentance and then making right. When we don't say sorry, things are not made right. Can I say this? In modern day Christianity, it's a very strange thing that's happening. It's okay if people don't say sorry, just say paise. Can already. Paise, huh? Cannot. Because once you say paise, it means you're not sincere, but you really are sorry. You do all you can to patch things back. It may take time for the other person to accept it, but you must make sure it's patched back first. All right? Like super glue, it takes time to come back again. But you must apply the glue of forgiveness, of confession. Okay? The reason is because then you will set the record straight. That means you say, I'm very sincere, I'm wrong, I'm saying sorry to everyone. Even if I lose my job, never mind. I just want to make sure things are okay and set right. You know what's the consequence? Okay, this is the right thing to do. But the consequences is you can get punched by the other husband.
Right.
Okay? Or there could be other things that the relatives get angry, like in the Bible, when Dinah was raped in Genesis 37, but the whole brothers got so angry, he killed the whole group of people. Why? It happens like, that's why it's so terrible. Anyone who touches my wife in a wrong way will get it from me. Yes, husband will get it from me. Why? She's mine, she's not yours. Don't touch. Okay, hands off. Can talk, but cannot. Better be careful. Because this is a very serious thing. Okay, so we need to repent of it by. There is consequences. You can be hated. The person may never call you again. Maybe he's a good friend. Unfortunately, even good friends, things like that happen. You can be ostracized. But you know what? Do the right thing anyway. Do the right thing anyway. I read Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32 to 35. Let me just listen. Whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get. His reproach shall not be wiped away. For his entire life, that person's reputation, no more already. He will be always known as an adulterer. That's unfortunate. God can forgive, people can forgive, but that mark will be there. It's a black mark. 34, why? For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. When he finds out, I can tell you, he will be so angry, he will do all kinds of things to you. I mean, let's say if the wife, the husband will be so angry with the other man that the Bible says 35, he will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many days. You can do all you can, he's not going to forgive, he's going to do all he can too, because you've taken something that belongs to him. Husband, we need to guard our wives. And I believe our husbands in our church do, but you know, we need to encourage this in our children to love their wives next time for mutual. And of course, our ladies, we need to also be willing to listen to our dads as to the principles with regards to this. Okay? So, realize it's a sin, repent of it, make restitution. Do all you can to make restitution to the wife or to the husband. Alright? Firstly, if he says you have to pay, then you just have to make do. You just have to make right. You have to make right. Or if he punch you, you don't punch back. That kind of thing. Make restitution. Because he needs to let go or whatever, you know, and you'll be willing to. And they say, the police come and say, hey, you cannot hit this person. You know what you will say? As a genuinely, truly changed person in the heart, I say, it's okay. It's my fault anyway. This is God's way of making things right. Alright? You need to make restitution. Do everything, you know, not just with the other person, you need to make restitution with your wife or your husband also. Because you know who's the most painful? I think all of us know Jack Neo. And what happened in his situation? The wife can be strong and support the husband, but inside she's probably very broken. Yes? So husbands, for this situation, this husband needs to do all he can to win his wife back. There was a deacon from another church. He wasn't a deacon when he fell into adultery. He actually confessed and repented of that. You know how long? Thank God he's now serving as a deacon. But you know how long it took for him to build his reputation again? 10 years. That people started to trust him again. In other words, you have to maintain your But you know, if God truly changes your heart, you don't have to try. God will help you. When you change your mind and follow God, God will help you. But God will also say, there are consequences. It took him 10 years. But thank God, he's moving on now. Leaving the past behind, thanking the church was supportive, but in the end, he still had to build reputation that finally people are willing to vote him as a deacon, and he's serving faithfully. And that's important. Because in Jesus, there's always restoration. Okay? But sin will always have consequences, and even when we repent, we have to pay the consequences. But make restitution. Then, we need to tell the person, remove from the other party completely. 100%. All photos, email, SMS, fax, photographs, everything must be destroyed. Burned. Gotten rid of. Alright? All the gifts, presents that the girl gave you, you give the girl that is not your wife, throw away, get rid of, burn. Don't give it to someone else. Just destroy it. Get rid of everything that will remind you of the past. Get rid of it to show your sincerity to your spouse and also to tell yourself, I'm making a clean cut. Okay? And do not call the person anymore. Namai lah. Not so long already. Just maybe once a week. Don't even think about that. Cut off. Totally. If you truly mean to go back to your wife, then there should be no one else. Okay? Some of us, I'm sure we're not involved in that, but you know what? We can give this counsel. And sometimes this person will say, really I don't want to hurt her leh. You have a choice. You want to hurt her or her wife? In that situation, I'd rather hurt her than hurt my wife. Amen? If we are truly changed in our hearts, okay? And sometimes, you know, whoever that give advice, you can say that. You want to hurt your wife again? You have a choice. Alright? Remove all. And then, as if you're a Christian, return to the Lord completely. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I made a mess of my life, my marriage, my children. Let me tell you, children get the worst hit. Although, you know why they're the worst hit? They don't know how to express themselves. They dare not tell that they are hurt inside. I was talking to one father one time, and he was sharing with me that the relationship, right? And he said that he actually said something which he shouldn't say in front of the daughter, and the daughter burst out crying. Not to the daughter, to the wife, because the marriage wasn't very good. Children get the worst. You know some of the children that come for VBS? And they are very active, you know, and we always scold them. You know, what's the possible reason? It could be the family is also breaking up. And they find no stability in their life. And therefore, emotionally, they're always up and down. So they come to church, they want this, they want that, they disturb, they take things and pair. And say, hey, don't touch that, don't touch that. We say, hey. Then we target them. We say, next time this person comes, make sure you ask Pastor Johnny so fat, sit on him, then he cannot do anything. Or that kind of thing. But you know, we may need to think, hey, is this person misbehaving because certain things in his heart, the family is not right? All of us know many of the children that come for our vacation Bible school actually have families that are not very strong. And hopefully for us as who have strong families, maybe we can share a little bit of that with some of the children that come. Okay? Return to the Lord with all our hearts. Christians, if he's not a Christian, then the person needs to get saved. If a person is a non-believer, you try to get him to do this, he will not. You know why? He got no strength. He have no strength. You're not a Christian, you need God's strength to break away from sin, because only Jesus can break away from sin. But if you're not a Christian, you know, look, I'm praying for you. You must become a Christian. If you really want to go back to your wife, you really love your marriage, you must become a Christian and ask God for help. Because without Jesus' help, you can never break out of sin. You can pretend to, but things happen, you will go back again. Okay? So, we need to return to the Lord with all our heart. And then as we return, we need to revive our love for God and fear Him. In Proverbs 16:6, let's turn there. All right, this is a very important verse. I use it all the time when I work with young people. I work with families who have problems and say, look, some things may have happened and things are wrong now. But God can forgive. But there must be certain things He must do. Let's read together. Proverbs 16 verse 6. Okay, let's read it. Ready? 1, 2, go. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. The principle is this. If a person is caught in adultery, we can forgive, but the person must confess the sin. Okay? So if the person confessed already, the next part is you need to develop a fear for God. You must love God with everything inside of you. Because if you love God, He will help you to keep your heart straight. But if you don't love God, your eyes will start moving again. Alright? Develop that fear of God in your lives. Okay. And then, according to John 8:11, according to what Jesus says, resolve to sin no more. Let's turn there, Robert, John chapter 8. Resolve to sin no more. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 11. This is a passage about a lady who was caught in adultery. In the very act. That's what it says here. Okay? In verse 4. John 8, verse 4. They say, and the master, referring to Jesus, this woman was taken. He was arrested in adultery in the very act when he was sleeping with the man. We caught her. How come the man never come? How come only the lady? Something we can think about. Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? Okay? In the end, the whole story is Jesus forgave the woman. Alright? But what did Jesus say to her in verse 11? She said, no man, Lord. That means no one condemned me, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. In other words, once you have changed your mind about this sin of adultery, you'll say, I'm not going back there again. I don't want the problems again. If Jesus forgave me in my heart, if my conscience is clear, I'm moving forward, I'm moving away from the sin I want to. Jesus says, stop sinning. Go, have a brand new start, but make sure you don't go back there again. Okay? Resolve to sin no more. There can be emotional scars, maybe not for yourself, but for your wife or whoever that you've cheated. There can be physical scars like HIV, AIDS, that could be that also. Unfortunately, we do know of people that the wife have to live with HIV. We thank God that we can still, the husband is gone, don't know where. But, you know, she has to live with HIV for the rest of her life. Because the husband played around, came back, gave it to her. There could be mental scars. Do you think Jack Neal's wife can forget what happened? Right? She can forgive, but you know, this kind of thing, so hard. But we can help people overcome this. You know, that's why God gave us Christian churches who love God's word, who by God's grace have strong families, and when we try to help other people, you know, we need to help people with tears and heart, because it's not just their lives destroyed, the children's life destroyed, the children's future destroyed, because they'll always remember dad did this, mom did this. Yeah, they can forgive. And some children get very angry, yeah? And some children get very angry with their parents. Children, we need to understand parents are not perfect. Okay? We need to learn to forgive them. And I remember we are personally responsible to God for our love for our parents. Love your parents. Pray for them. Your parents don't have it easy. They have to work. They have to take care of the family. Pray for your parents. Pray for your dad. Pray for your mom. Love them. Help them. Alright? Any questions? Alright? Any questions? Okay, if not, we'll just take 5 minutes. I just want to dive into the area of fornication. It's slightly different. Up to now, we're talking about married people generally, okay? Now we're talking about people who are not married. Alright, we need to keep our heart against fornication. The memory verse, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. We'll just take about 5-10 minutes just to kind of start off this. Then next week, we'll talk into a lot of detail about the rationale. Okay, what is fornication, etc. So that we can actually teach our young people, and for parents to teach them, for youth workers to understand, so that we can teach these people so that they will avoid this sin altogether. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. Let's read there. Okay, ready? All together? Ready? 1, 2, go. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Okay. By way of introduction, Dr. Ng Eng Hen, actually in a message, you can actually read this on the internet, told, I can't remember the context of his message now. He actually, you know, a government like to keep statistics. So he says, annually in Singapore, there are 2,000 teenage pregnancies. Annually. That means every year, they report cases, 2,000 pregnancies. Probably it's underreported. There are other ones that other things may have happened. In the year 2002, there are 288 cases of sexually transmitted diseases. In 2008, there are 787 cases of sexually transmitted diseases. There was one case of AIDS in 2002, nine in 2007 in Singapore. Survey of 4,000 young people between 14 and 19, 8%, which is 320 teenagers, were involved in this kind of immoral and inappropriate activity. This is statistics in Singapore in the last 10 years. And it will get worse. You know why it will get worse? Television? How many of you remember when, is it Singapore Broadcasting Corporation, the first kiss on our TV? For Singapore, how many of you can remember the first kiss on our TV in the Chinese serial? It was a big thing, okay? Because before that time, there should be no kissing in television, in the Singapore shows and all that, no kissing. The moment the first kiss only, then next day our newspaper, big thing. After that, a lot of other things have come out already. What is fornication? We won't go through that, but I will go into the definition, but let's read a few verses first about fornication and what does the Bible have to say about that. Okay? So maybe if Joshua Poon, you can start off with Acts 15:29. So Elizabeth, are you okay to, right? In 1 Corinthians 6:13, then Brother Taylor, you can turn 1 Corinthians 6:18, 1 Corinthians 7:2, Brother Song Ling, then Brother Jacob, if you can look at 1 Corinthians 7:2, then maybe it's Sister Shaoling, 1 Corinthians 10:8. Oh, did you? Or did I? what verse did I give you? 7:2, then is 10:8 for Jacob. 10:8. 1 Corinthians 10:8. Yeah. Then Uncle Roland, did I give you? No. Let's see. Galatians 5:19. Then Brother Ping Kong, if you can take Ephesians 5:3. Then if Brother Denzel, if you can take Colossians 3:5. Okay. Then I just want to read through these verses. I just have a general idea what God has to say about fornication in Acts 15:29. Loudly, okay, so all can hear. Okay, the Bible says you are to abstain from fornication. If you keep yourself from it, you shall do well. Alright, 1 Corinthians 6:13. The body is not for fornication, but it is for God, God alone. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Okay, you have to run away from this sin altogether. Okay, 1 Corinthians 7:2. Okay, so. In order not to have immorality outside of marriage, not that you have immorality inside of marriage, but in order not to sin against God in this area, you need to be married. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10:8. What was the outcome? What was the result of fornication? 23,000 people died in one day. That was how much God hated that sin. Okay, Galatians 5:19. Okay, the works of the flesh includes fornication. Okay, Ephesians 5:3. Paul actually says, fornication must never be made among Christians. Okay? That's why we need to understand what it is. Colossians 3 verse 5. Okay, modify. The word modify means put to death. Put to death. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate, evil concupiscence. These four things, you know what it refers to? It refers all to sexual sins. All of them refers to sexual sins. Okay? Anyone else? No one else, right? Okay, these are the... So, what is fornication? The idea that hopefully we will get from God is God does not want to find fornication among Christians. Full stop. Alright? So as Christians, we need to understand what is fornication and whether or not we are doing things that either lead to it or we are doing things that are in it, and that God wants to make sure this is cut out from His church. Alright? This is important because the Christian church today, we have pastors' daughters. Alright? Big churches in Singapore involved in that kind of thing. And you know what? The members still accept. If any of my children are involved with that, I'm out of the pastorate. I have no reason to remain because I cannot even control my own families. It is a sin that is so terrible. God says, I do not want it. Let it not once be named among Christians. God has a very serious view to fornication. All right. So very quickly, we just finish with what is the definition. Then next week, we'll talk about it in more detail. The definition, what is fornication? The word comes from the word porneia, which means immorality in general. But it comes from the root word, meaning to act like a prostitute. To act like the harlot. To act the harlot. Now just stop and think for a while. God's way of thinking. We have the marriage. We have the physical relationship within the marriage that is pure, that's undefiled. God says, you take that out, you're acting like a prostitute. Whoa, when I thought, I've never really looked into this, but when you study the word fornication comes from the root word to act the harlot. And we know that a harlot is someone who sells her body. Now we have male also, immorally, to make a living. During those times, it was a religious duty. I think we all know that from our FBI. It was a religious duty. But porneia, as a whole, sometimes I was a bit confused because sometimes it's adultery, sometimes it's fornication. It's like, what is God saying? Adultery always has to do with marriage, okay? Cheating on a wife or husband during marriage. But fornication is actually a big word that includes adultery as well. Okay, I just read there. Porneia as a whole includes all forms of immorality. Some people separate the word from adultery in that fornication is immorality outside of marriage, but adultery happens as an affront against the institution of marriage. All forms of perversion and immorality is included in the topic of porneia. Every form, as long as it is a perversion, listen to this, as long as it is a perversion, taking the design that God intended in the first place out of place. Let's say, because marriage, the physical relationship within marriage is only for marriage. Any part of it is taken out and perverted in different ways. That's pornography, that's porneia, that's fornication to God. Anything outside is equals to fornication. Whether it's visual, audio, or the physical act. Okay? Anything outside of that, as far as God is concerned, is very clear. Marriage bed, undefiled. Within marriage. Anything outside. Whoremongers. You know what is whoremongers? Whoremongers is someone who participates in this kind of immoral activities. And adulterers, God will judge. Alright? I want to set it clearly first because God is very strong and the Church of Jesus Christ is very weak in resisting this today. Many of our young people, by God's grace, will not fall into this. But young people, you need to absolutely memorize verses. You need to know in your heart, one man, one woman for the rest of my life, I'm going to listen to my mom and dad. They're going to protect me. If I'm not sure, I'm not going to run this way. I'm going to run towards them. I want to hang on to them because they have the experience. They have the at least some spiritual strength to help. Okay? That's why for girls, teenage girls, your father is supposed to be the protector. No guy can go past your father without his permission. Roger, I say this to my children. No girls ought to have a boyfriend without the express consent of the father. Do you realize, we'll talk about that, do you realize that is a biblical principle? In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, or 7 I believe, whereby the father can actually intervene in the decision. Okay? When we understand, the reason why God puts that in is not to make our heart, our life tough. It's actually to protect us. Your purity is at stake. And so, please understand, okay? But the world will give you all kinds of other influences. Remember, fornication is anything that is a perversion of the marriage act. Anything outside. And I'll show you next week. It's very, when I'm studying this, I need to be very careful because there are a lot of things, a lot of suggestions. But I told God, this has to be taught because, Lord, this is your will for purity of your children. And pray for me because I'm trying to make it as educational as possible, as informative as possible, that as Christians, we will use this as information to guard our hearts for God's glory and to teach our children, teach our friends who may have other ideas. Okay, any questions? I think we'll stop here. Next week we'll continue on. All right, please keep your notes. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time and we really appreciate, Father, your word. Because your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. You guide us, Lord, in all the affairs of life. Sometimes, Lord, we don't actually understand why things are. And so without thinking, Lord, we will go ahead and do certain things. And then we try to give reasons why it's right. Father, help us to recognize that there are certain things you have designed that is only for a certain situation. And that God, when it is taken out of that situation, it becomes sin in your sight. And God, you mentioned the whoremongers and adulterers, you will judge. And Father, we know there's forgiveness with God. But God, there's consequences of sin. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to keep Ambassador pure. Oh God, protect every young person that they will take this seriously. That God, when the pressure comes, when the trial comes, when there's a temptation to do that which they know it was wrong, that is wrong. Father, I pray that may every young man, young lady, and ambassador act like Joseph, who will say, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? The God who loves me, the God who leads me, and the God to whom I must give an account. Lord, I pray for every child in our Sunday school. Oh God, please protect every one of them from this awful sin. And also, Lord, for our young people and also for our young men and ladies growing up. God, may they have the conviction of purity in their lives. That, Lord, they will seek you first above their pleasure. We'll thank you, Lord, for what we're going to do, Lord. Bless our short time of fellowship before the service. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.